Did you see a breakdown of kids into groups that may have been along religious lines or political interest lines while you were in school?
No, I really did not see that. I think it was a disadvantage of my youth that religious instruction was so poor in schools. Religion, the teaching of religion was had to be done in school. There was no question about it. The Catholics were the majority. Twice a week, we had the subject religion. The Catholics each had an instructor coming for just that class, for the third grade, for the fourth grade, and so forth. The Protestants were the bigger minority, and there were two classes taken together. We Jews were so few that we had to be four grades together for instruction. The trouble was, we, as far as I'm concerned, in my education, I cannot remember one good teacher, I'm sorry to say. They were either retired rabbis who couldn't find any other activities, people who couldn't keep discipline among the handful of us that we were. We just thought it was a big joke.
Was your school typical of schools in Vienna, in as much as you had so few Jews? Or was there a section like Squirrel Hill where there may have been many Jews in one school and they have gotten a different perspective?
You're so right. The section I talk about is a mixed section. I would compare it, say, to East Liberty. But Squirrel Hill existed in Vienna. It is an island, Leopoldstadt. Leopold, one of the emperors, Leopoldstadt. You probably ran across many people coming from there. It is an island between the Danube and one of its arms. There, I would say, were 80%, 90, 70, I don't know, in that neighborhood, Jewish population there. Whether they're religious and again, in Vienna was a very sharp division between the, let's say, liberal, there were no reform, but between the liberal conservative and the strictly orthodox, there was a great division in the religious institutions. There was an orphanage, a Jewish orphanage in Vienna that was strictly Orthodox.
Was it your father's choice not to live in Leopoldville?
Leopoldstadt, if you don't mind.
Leopoldstadt.
I don't know. I really don't know. It must have been where he found an opening for his profession, for his business, that he moved there. I think there was too much competition in Leopoldstadt among the Jewish craftspeople there. Because at that time, you know, they were in a great majority in crafts. They were the upholsterers and the locksmiths and the whatever crafts they could go into, jewelers, watchmakers, womenagers.
In the Vienna of, in the Squirrel Hill of Vienna, did Jewish cultural life flourish as it flourishes in Squirrel Hill?
I think it did. But again, more on religious grounds. Well, Vienna really was flooded by political interests on the surface. Maybe underground, the Jewish life flourished somehow in the congregations, but not openly, not at all.
Mm-hmm. And even though there were a few Jews in your school, you didn't feel anti-Semitism?
No, not really. Not really.
What kind of atmosphere was there in the classroom? Was the teacher a strict disciplinarian?
Among my teachers in the higher schools were almost all Nazis. The Jewish director was deposed. She was a wonderful, highly educated woman. And a non-entity intellectually took her place. And that was after my time, long after I finished. The universities were always anti-Semitic. Now the tests, the final orals, were open to the public. And I attended my husband's final test in law school. How the questions were directed and the whole setup was so intimidating for Jews. But they still made it.
Did you see the emphasis in education or the choices of subject of the curriculum being different than what it appears to be here?
Yes. The emphasis here is the dollar sign at the end of the tunnel. At my time, I didn't notice any such thing over there. It was the status of education, the intelligence, the class that you could join once you achieved something, but not really the money. Because there were some very highly regarded doctors among my parents' friends who didn't make much money, who hardly made more than my father's small businessman. But they were proud of their profession and regarded in that specific group.
Prestige then was measured by level of education or wisdom rather than dollars.
Right, right.
Okay. Now, you appear to be a healthy, vigorous woman. Have you always been in good health?
Except for a few incidents, yes, I have.
Do you recall what medical care was like in Vienna for you or for people in general?
As far as I remember, it was wonderful. Whenever I had a sore throat, the pediatrician would come to my house, stood by my bed, and would come every day if I needed it. And the public hospitals were probably good organizations, but whoever could afford it went to private places. They were called sanatorium, not with the connotation that the word has here. Later on, with the institution of Krankenkassen, Blue Cross, Blue Shield, the hospitals improved somehow. And there was also one big thing in Vienna. The Viennese government was in contrast to the Austrian government. Austrian was Christian Democrats and the Viennese was Social Democrat. Ever since the revolution, 1918. And the head of the Department of Health and Welfare was a Jewish professor of the medical school, Professor Tandler, who was just a great man, that's all I can say. And he introduced medical care for the population as it had never been before. He introduced, I think his is the first daddy in the world to send to every newborn baby, rich or poor, a complete layette. And people responded, said, why should you send that to the rich ones? He said, don't worry, we'll take it away in taxes from them. But we do not want a difference in whoever gets it. And many of the institutions, prenatal care, and were outstanding and beyond.
I have the thought that Vienna was a world leader in medical care at that time.
It was, which didn't keep the Nazis from taking good revenge and got them really in a poorer place. I remember an uncle of my husband's, Professor Freund, taught at the medical school at Vienna University. As a matter of fact, he was the first one to introduce x-rays, Röntgen, to the cure of cancer, skin cancer, and which didn't keep the Nazis from imprisoning him. Or Bela Schick, who was his friend, you know, Bela Schick of the famous Schick test for measles, to whom we were sent here and met him in New York. He saved himself, but Professor Freund didn't. They imprisoned him, the Nazis. He revealed the Swiss bank account numbers. They let him flee to Belgium and killed him there. A world famous man. Thanks to him, I'm here today. When the Nazis came in 38, now this might be out of place to say it now. When the Nazis came in 38, we were desperate. We knew we had to leave the country and had nobody anywhere in another country. But Uncle Freund had students from all over the world. So we went to him and asked him, would you please give us some names and addresses where we could write for help? He gave us his little black book that had entries like John Smith, Los Angeles, or Charles Weaver, Philadelphia. We wrote 60, my husband and I, 60 registered letters to such addresses and closed both our bios and waited. And one day we got an answer. The end of May, Hitler came on March 11th to Vienna. We knew it before, but couldn't do a thing. The end of May, we got a letter from my doctor in New York that he was making up an affidavit for us. Affidavit of support, it is called, on the basis of which you may apply to the American Immigration Administration. And it's thanks to him. But it so happened that this man was a native Viennese, and he knew what was going on. The others just couldn't understand. We couldn't write openly in our letters what was going on because of the censorship. He understood our careful wording, and that's how we got the affidavit.
And you came to New York?
We came to New York. And tried to stay there. Actually, we did stay 1 year. And the trips to Pittsburgh and back again. And in the meantime, we managed to save my parents, my husband's parents, and my husband's only brother and wife.
How did you get to Pittsburgh?
That's a good question. We don't know ourselves. My husband had worked in Vienna with a news agency like UPI, Reuters, it was a German Telegrafen company. Those were the days before teletype. And all the news from all over the world were given by telephone, which was rather expensive. My husband perfected his short temp so that he became champion of German short temp for Germany and Austria. 360 syllables a minute. And because the news were given over the phone. And we thought, well, in New York he might look for a job on that order. That was just the type, of course, the United States were always ahead of Europe. The teletypes were introduced, and they said, oh, you don't need your type. But I tell you what, there are smaller towns where there are more newspapers. Why don't you try Pittsburgh? So we got on the bus and tried Pittsburgh. At that time, there were all of three newspapers, the late Sun Telegraph, if you remember. Without success. Well, we tried it here for a couple of months, during which time I managed to make a contact through which I later on got a job in Pittsburgh. In the meantime, my husband had gotten a summer job in New York. So there was some difficulties there in getting settled. But we had no help from nobody. I must say, when we came here, we found and we had an awful rented room for $8 a week. And one day we came home and there was a card, a visiting card, from the director of a settlement house in East Liberty, Kingsley House, inviting us. She came to see us, inviting us for dinner. She was a Quaker. Mrs. Sarah B. Cooper would be 102 years old today. And that's how I got foothold here.
You lived in East Liberty at first?
Yes, we did.
Where did you live here?
The first was on South Graham Street. Then on South Hammond, you know where the corner is, where the church is. There's a little shopping district.
What street did you go to?
Can't remember the name of the
South Highland, did you say?
Corner of South Highland. What's the street that goes?
Oh, Alter, maybe?
Yeah, that's right. There. I remember we had a bedroom where we couldn't sit up in bed because we'd bang our head on the roof.
You're talking about a lot of hard times and transition and so forth. But what about as a teenager? Did you have your fun and activities that you...
Oh, yes. I was very much involved with student groups of my political direction. And I had a couple of boyfriends before. My later husband wouldn't give up. I had girlfriends, and my social life was fairly active, though disciplined. There was a certain hour I had to be home, which was 10 o'clock. Of course, school starts at 8 in the morning. But I did have fun, but I had to sort of direct my own life and sort of... My parents gave me credit for knowing what was right and what was wrong.
I sense that what you are referring to as fun politics is thought of in this country by our teenagers as being serious efforts.
Yeah. Well, they were serious there. They were serious. They were. What is considered fun here, I don't know, meeting in a house and necking or drinking, that didn't exist. That was below my level or below our level. But those groups were serious as well as fun things like hiking on Sundays, carrying your own supplies on your back, or skiing or swimming together. That was the fun.
Movies, dances, girls' clubs.
Movies, were not considered too great. The American movies were considered silly capitalistic promotion. We did see some very good, there was one movie in Vienna, I forget its name, that showed good foreign pictures, which we saw. But as far as I'm concerned, movies were not much in my realm. You don't have to, in a city where there are, I don't know how many theaters with repertoire programs.
Stage productions.
Stage productions. You just went to see it, and it was a different.
How about dances, girls' clubs, Jewish organizations for teenagers?
Jewish organizations, to my knowledge, were not active in any social life. Maybe there were some, but they were not well-known Jewish activities. There were social groups, there were sports group, Hakoa, if you were a football fan. Much else, maybe in very small circles that were sponsored by parents and such, but they didn't touch me.
Leopoldstadt had Jewish organizations for teenagers?
Yeah, I think so.
But you were away from that?
Yes. You sort of stuck to your environment.
Okay. How far away from Leopoldstadt were you? Five, 10 minutes, a half
30
hour?
Minutes by walk. Streetcar, maybe 15 minutes.
Okay.
Of course, there were places that I visited. My grandparents lived there, and some of my father's relatives lived there. I went there every Sunday religiously and gathered in a Jewish crowd, Jewish-only crowd.
Mm-hmm. Okay, you briefly mentioned that you had a couple boyfriends mm-hmm. before you mm-hmm. Married. Could you talk about courtship?
Strange thing. Courtship is a thing you keep secret, even from your parents. Parents don't foster courtships. I don't know why. It was not only in my case. I had a couple of boyfriends that one, my parents didn't know about. The second, they didn't approve. He was an old man. He was 5 years older than I was. And when my husband started dating me or holding on to me, he picked me up every morning before school at 7:30. He didn't dare stand by my door, but around the corner where he couldn't be seen from my parents' bedroom. We walked together, there was a little park on the way, and all we did was holding hands, and he went to the boys' school and I went to the girls' school. We weren't in school together. He was in a boys' gymnasium, that was called higher school's gymnasium, and I was in a girls' PR gymnasium.
Would you say it was good or bad?
Was it good?
Or bad? Courtship.
Courtship.
And the ways of courtship and it being secretive and...
I don't think it was good.
You don't think it was good?
I think when you kissed, he took you to a house, and when he kissed you and you're there, you have to look around and see, gee, I'm doing something wrong. I hope my parents don't find out. I don't know how they expected me to find a man or to ever get married or so. That probably wasn't in their mind. I was 18 and I had to study. I helped them in the store, which I did, but mine could have been a very singular case. But generally, courtship is not pushed the way it is here. It's pushed. I didn't have the basic education in this, and I didn't do it with my children. That's where I am now.
How do you think about the morals and the ways of people in mating ages here today as compared to Vienna then?
Vienna and then, it's over 50 years I'm talking about. We're much stricter and much more ethical. I'm appalled yet when I see what's being advertised on TV. I'm appalled at what parents do before they send their girls to college.
What parents do?
For the girls. Have them ready for all kinds of happenings at college.
Sexual hygiene.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. All over there, sexual hygiene. I learned from my mother. Probably not enough. There was no idea of teaching it in school. Well, you had a chapter of anatomy in school, but no greater education. So you got it wherever you found it.
Sexual education in general was not
existing.
And you think of it in this country as being a good thing or a bad thing as it is done?
Sexual education as it is done by your schools and proper channels and proper attitude of parents is perfect. But there are too many exceptions, too many steppings over the border of what is healthy, ethical, moral, religious, whatever.
Mm-hmm. How long did you go with your husband before you got married?
5 years. Would you believe it? 16, first, wasn't inclined, but he insisted. And I was 16 then, and he was 17.
And you got married at approximately age 21. Your husband went to work or was working already?
He was working and went to school at the same time, to law school.
Did you work when you first
got
married?
Yes, I tutored all the time. From my 14th year on, I tutored high school subjects or whatever subject. I tutored one grade lower than I was in.
And you had your own place immediately upon being married?
No. We had part of my parents' apartment. It wasn't available. There was a shortage of apartments.
And then how long did you stay with your parents before you had your own place?
Until I was thrown out of Vienna.